Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best, too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, welcome to all the best people I know. That would be you. There's over 22,000 listeners. There's over 22,000 of us in the Best People We Know Club. How awesome are we? And it's all because of you. You are all spreading the news about the show, the guest, real tips you can trust, people that are the real deal, walking their talk, giving you value. I can't thank you enough because without you, there is no show. So I appreciate you keeping the show going and growing and putting us in the top 1 to 2% in so many categories. And we're syndicated now in a radio station, AM radio station in Canada, in Calgary, and got another one that I just heard from that's picking us up in Texas. So, hey, good things are happening, and boy, are we going to have some good things happening today with Trish Bishop. She is all about asking the right questions to get the right answer. And I've been looking forward to this show. I was telling her before we were coming on air, I'm like, wow, I can't wait to get all these tips. You know, it was Albert Einstein, I think, who said something like, if you think a fish is stupid because it can't climb a tree, then you know, you're asking the wrong question. What are you going to think? So it's pretty exciting what's happening here, and it's a new month, so it's great. If you want to get a whole listing of all our guests this month, go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, greenskyandbluegrass.com. In the right-hand side, there's a green monthly motivation newsletter. You just sign up for that. You'll get it at the top of the month with all of our guests. If you want to get the worry-free updates from BTR, you just favorite and follow us, and they'll send them to you automatically. Whew, okay, all that in one breath. So without further ado, let me tell you about Trish so that we can get right into becoming our best, asking the right questions, getting free from dis-ease. All right, well, Trish Bishop has a mission to educate and inspire others to wake up, live your life, live consciously. Her hope is that the question journey can become a stepping stone for people to learn to trust their own intuition again, to trust that they already have the answers within their own authentic self. Trish has an amazing story she's going to share with us. In 1998, Trish was diagnosed with scleroderma, which is a rare form of rheumatoid arthritis that creates scar tissue inside the body. Painful. Upon receiving her diagnosis, against the advice of all her doctors, Trish refused all medications and decided to look for alternative healing options such as diet, exercise, and she was most powerfully drawn towards learning how healing the spirit can heal the body. Much of Trish's healing journey was trial and error, yet within a very short period of time, she was able to not only stop the progression of the dis-ease, but she started to reverse the symptoms. She believes we may set our bodies up for dis-ease physically through poor diet and all the other things that we've heard about, but that the dis-ease manifests will result from our spiritual and emotional health. So she really is an advocate of the mind-body connection. The Question Journey is a gorgeous self-discovery journal that provides powerful tools to help you remember and reclaim who you really are. You can connect with Trish Bishop at thequestionjourney.com. And I also want to thank Jay Early, our friend on the Jay Early radio show, who connected me with Trish. And I am so excited, privileged, and honored to just share your shine with all of our Best People We Know listeners. Welcome, Trish Bishop. How are you today?
Well, after that intro, I'm like glowing.
Are you sharing your shine from Nova Scotia, girlfriend? Are we feeling the love through the airwaves? Everybody's already feeling the healing.
I am totally feeling the love. And a big shout out to Jay Early, because he did connect us, and that was fantastic. But I feel like all my cells are like buzzing. That's amazing. Thank you.
Well, hey, listen, not everybody can be on the Best People We Know show. We have to be Best People We Know approved. And, you know, one of the things that I really take seriously before I have a guest on the show, is it somebody that I believe, that I trust, that I can relate to, that can translate their situation, their talent, their gifts to my life? And I think that you definitely do all of that, but I want listeners to understand for themselves, because I've done a lot of research in your story, and I mean, you were practically homeless at one point. Can you allow listeners the opportunity to connect with you as a real person with some of your story for them right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. And I think that's where the authenticity comes through, because when I share my story with people, just like when you share your story, that's where people connect in the truth of what they hear there. And if I start with my story, I kind of go back to when you're talking about being almost homeless. I mean, I go back to, and it's funny, I was in grade 11 and, you know, was basically so, you know, quote unquote, bright from an academic point of view, that I was accepted to a university directly from grade 11. I didn't even have to go to grade 12. And I arrived at the university and absolutely hated it. And within 3 months, I was done. And so fast forward 2 years later, and I'm essentially a high school dropout single mother. You know, I've jobbed now at the age of 20, given birth to my son, single mom, and I'm waitressing, and I have really no education to speak of, because if you don't have your grade 12, you know, effectively, you really don't have an education as far as, you know, getting a good job or anything. And, you know, I do remember sitting there, and this was a pinnacle, you know, we have those pinnacle moments in our life, and I'm sitting there with my newborn son and, you know, looking for money in the cushions to go buy Kraft dinner kind of thing, and thinking to myself, you know what? This isn't what I want for my son. This isn't the life that I want. And what the pinnacle moment was for me was when I finally realized that blaming everyone else for all of the problems in my life was really not getting me anything but more problems. And so I really, in that moment, felt the shift inside of me where I took responsibility for myself. And from that moment forward, really propelled myself to the point where, you know, just a mere few years later, I did go back and actually did my grade 12. And I took a course at our community college, a business information technology course, lucked into a job with one of the first internet service providers. And my career skyrocketed, and again, you know, with no real university education or anything like that, was doing a senior project management role for multi-million dollar contracts for global implementations. So, you know, I really, once I understood that I was the one that held the power for where my life was going to go, that was a huge realization for me. So that was a big moment for me, and it really does huge things, obviously, for your self-confidence and all of that other kind of stuff. But it wasn't too much longer about 1998, actually, when I had just given birth to my daughter. And at this point, I'm married. I've got an amazing husband, and my son is about 7 years old at that point. And you mentioned when you were giving the intro how painful scleroderma was, and it is exceptionally painful as a disease. The arthritis in the body, if I got down on my knees, I literally couldn't get back up. I was easily doing, you know, taking 10 Advil a day just to tolerate the pain. You know, it took a very, very long time for the doctors to diagnose my condition. It's a very rare condition, but still, it took well over a year or two for them to diagnose it. So finally, I was diagnosed, and I remember being in the hospital, laying on the bed, you know, and the doctor comes in, the rheumatologist comes in with a couple of other doctors who were, you know, in their practicum stage. And, you know, so there's three or four of these doctors around me. And you know, she's looking down at me. I don't have my husband with me or anything because I'm not expecting anything to be wrong. And she says to me, you definitely have the scleroderma. And, you know, I'd like to say I was shocked, but frankly, having never heard of scleroderma, it really didn't do anything for me. You know, if she'd said you had cancer, I would have been, like, scared out of my mind. But not
yeah.
Scleroderma was. Yeah, I had no reaction. I mean, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with that because I didn't know what it was. So then she said, you know, we want to put you on an aggressive, boat of methotrexate and all of these other drugs. And something inside of me so deep, and even to this day, I'm not even sure where it originated from, just that I know that even from a young age, I've trusted my intuition implicitly. I said to her in that moment, I said, I'm not taking any drugs. And she said, you'll be dead in 7 years. Even with the drugs, you'll be lucky to live much longer than that. And I said, I'm not taking them. And so she wouldn't treat me, of course, because what doctor's going to take responsibility for someone who refuses treatment? So I basically was on my own. And again, that responsibility piece came up. Like, who am I to sit there and say to the doctor, I'm not going to take any medication and then just go home and pretend like everything's okay? That was not the path. I knew that if I was not going to go down that road, I had to take responsibility for educating myself, for trying everything I could get my hands on. Something inside of me knew there was another way. That's what it was in a nutshell. And I had to take responsibility for figuring out what that was. And it was about 4 or 5 years of trial and error, different things that I tried. There were a couple of things that I would say definitely came to the point where you mentioned that my disease stopped progression. And I would say, in a nutshell, that was sleep. So really allowing my body to sleep when I was tired and when I needed it, whether it was during the day or anything else. And I was very fortunate. I worked from home, so I had that kind of flexibility. So sleep was a big thing. Yoga for me was huge because it increased my flexibility, the arthritis, took away the pain. I was no longer taking Advil to manage the pain. Yoga was really huge for me, and diet was really big for me as well. So those three things during that period of time, and I tried all kinds of things. I mean, Reiki and, basically if it was something alternative, I tried it. Biofeedback readings, you name it, I've tried pretty much everything over the years. And some, work, others, you don't know whether they were effective or not. It's really, sometimes it's hard to tell when you're on a path trying everything, what was the one thing that made the big difference, you know?
Mm. So it was... And it's just, I mean, your story is so amazing, because first of all, I know that somebody's out there listening. I see people in the chat room, the guests and other people online, or whether you're listening on the iTunes for replay. But, you know, who hasn't had some sort of tragedy, some bad card dealt to them that they didn't want to deal with? You know, for you, it was a scleroderma, but, you know, people have health issues. They have those obstacles. They experience those fears. And, you know, so many people have this gut reaction that you did, but maybe somebody right now listening is wondering, you know, what do I do? I'm listening to these doctors. They've, you know, decided that this is what I have. I'll be dead. You know, they're telling me I'll be dead if I don't do X, Y, and Z. How many people have been single parents? How many people have felt, you know, down and out that, you know, things aren't going to turn around for them? So all of these experiences that you had that listeners can relate to, you know, I think that the hope and the good news is, okay, these are the things that have happened to you, but you created this question journey to try to help us ask the right questions to get the right answers. Because if you don't ask, and especially as coaches, if you don't ask the right question, how can you expect to get the right answer? And we all need a new way of thinking. So, you know, before I start asking you about how we strengthen our intuition, because I think that that's always key, I want to let people understand that there are five things that you talk about. One is be ready. Two, break the buy your answers habit. Three, shut off the chaos valve. Four, rip off the Band-Aid. Five, cut the strings. Let's talk about these, because this is a real winning equation that you have in the Question Journey series, and how that intuition and listening to our true inner self, you know, how that really connects to us stepping into our greatness and away from our sorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really, you know, the first step being, you know, are you ready? And that's the big key, because, and I say to people all the time, you know, when you've got a book, of course, every author out there is trying to get their book out into everyone's hands. And I'm saying, you know what, this book doesn't belong in everyone's hands, because a lot of people would pick up, I've seen people pick up this book and drop it like it's on fire the moment they realize what it actually is. Other people embrace it and they open it up and tears come to their eyes once they understand what it is. So it, you know, you really do need to be in a place of readiness for this book to have any value for you. And getting to a place of readiness comes from any number of things. In the work that I do, and Deb, I'm sure you're going to agree with me. There are people who will be diagnosed with a cancer or a scleroderma or whatever, and feel like, you know, and either just succumb to that, and they may even feel like, oh, you know, I want to beat it, and yet they're in this phase within themselves of self-destruction, and they just cannot get to that place where they are really, really willing to make the changes necessary. You know, they think they want to, but they just can't really get to that place where the changes that are essential for them to actually heal themselves are going to be made. They just cannot get to that place. And so they're not ready. Those people are not ready. The ones who
And you know, I just want to pause for a minute, because sometimes we beat ourselves up because, you know, it's especially with the law of attraction stuff. You know, well, why can't I manifest that? Why can't I do that? What's wrong with me? And then it becomes more of a negative than a positive. So I don't want people to beat themselves up. And let's take it in a good way. You know, if you were a 10-year-old and your parents for Christmas gave you a great pair of skis for when you were 21, you know, what good does it do you? You have the gift, but you can't use it. You're not ready. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough, but you know you have the gift there. So I think that, you know, being ready for this, for these questions is part of the process. And just because you're not ready today doesn't mean that the seed won't be planted today and you couldn't be ready tomorrow. So I think it's still a good thing to know what's out there, what's available. And that old Confucius saying, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So
I think
that that's what you're about, and that's okay, you know, for people. But you know, when they are ready, you talk about the buy your answers habit. What does that mean? What is that next step in us getting free from dis-ease?
Yeah, and I want to thank you for that, because that's really, I love that repositioning for sure. So when we talk about buy your answers habit, and disease, you know, I love the way that you also are very clear about dis-ease, because that's very much the way that I think about when we have something wrong with the body, is that the body's just in a state of dis-ease. It's just not at ease, rather than thinking of it as this horrific thing that has just, you know, happened to me. And as by example, I never actually ever uttered the words, I have scleroderma. Those words never passed my lips. I might say I was diagnosed with, or other words like that, but I actually never believed I had it, which I also think had a big part to play in the healing journey that I was on. So when we talk about the buy your answers habit, what I'm talking about there is that when we do get to a certain place where, you know, where we know there's something out there, we know there's more, we know we're capable of more, we know that there's something out there for us, then we see these amazing teachers and leaders, you know, the Neil Donald Walshes and the Tony Robbinses and the, you know, Marianne Williamsons, all of these people are out there, and they do have amazing wisdom that they're sharing. But if you really start to look beyond what they're, you know, the hype of what they're doing, and really, really listen to what it is that they're saying, essentially they're all saying the same thing. And what they're saying is, I don't have your answer. They don't have your answer. What they're trying to get you to is a place where you trust and learn how to find the answers within yourself. So when you're constantly, what we tend to do is when we get into this, and I did the same thing for years. I can't even tell you how many of these personal development books I read. And what we tend to do is we get into this habit of, you know, oh, buying the next book from your favorite author or the next CD or going to the next workshop or whatever. And at some point in time, you just need to stop that habit, because it's really not, you're kind of like a gerbil on a treadmill in a way, because you're just hearing the same thing over and over and over again, but nothing's really shifting or changing. Because the reality is that they, just being in the experience of that is not going to give you fundamental lasting change. It's going to trigger things for you. It's going to give you new ideas, all of that kind of stuff. But ultimately, your relationship with yourself and really getting into knowing what is true for you is the place that you need to come to. And in my personal opinion, that comes with being quiet. And you can't be quiet when you're constantly being bombarded by somebody else's information.
Yeah, and, you know, really, I'm a big advocate of the classroom of silence. I always hear most loudly what I need to know when I'm in there. And, you know, that's the irony. But I wonder if you could maybe share something about the experience or what some takeaway or a tip that someone, you know, at the end of the show, I always want people to be able to, you know, put one action into place from what they heard. So for somebody that's not really sure they're hearing their intuition clearly, maybe they feel like they've lost touch. Maybe they feel that somebody else knows how they should be better than them. Maybe they're looking for someone to say, okay, tell me what I think, please, you know. And I do believe that we are given those God-given answers, are given to us. How many times I think in my own life, maybe somebody listening is feeling the same, you know, oh, I wish I, you know, didn't do that, or I wish I had done that. You know, I had that idea to call that person or to do this or make this decision, and I didn't. And then in hindsight, which is always 20/20, we come back and say, why didn't I listen to that little voice that I had? How do we get in touch? How do we get back into a good friendship with ourselves to trust ourselves enough to listen to what we're feeling?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a great question. And I want to preface it by saying, you know, and this is the big thing that I love for everyone to really understand, I'm not an expert in any of this, right? This is just my experience, and I share it with whoever it is that's open to listening to it. And when I say that, I'm even talking about my intuition. And I will say, at a very early age, I trusted my intuition implicitly and continue to do that. In my corporate career, the majority of the success that I experienced was because I managed my work intuitively. That being said, I sit here now in this very moment of my life, and I'm struggling with my own intuition. You know, so it's not one of these things that's infallible or, oh, you just become the perfect intuitive person and some people have the gift and some people don't. I believe every single person on the planet, I believe the intuition is actually another sense, which we've all heard many, many people say, so that's not something that's completely off of the beaten track. But it, to me, it's very much a muscle. Your intuition is a muscle that needs to constantly be worked, no different than the muscles in your body. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine what your mouth would feel like if you didn't talk for a couple of years, right? It'd be a little bit sore and a little bit squeaky and a little bit, you know, tough to use. So, you know, the idea of your intuition and getting connected with it is, A, being able to look at those situations that you just mentioned where you had the intuitive sense and you kind of ignored it, but then it came back to you after, and you're like, oh, I knew that. Like I did, I knew that. And I have an approach that I use that's called RARA, R-A-R-A. That's kind of an acronym that I use. And I'm hoping I can remember it off the top of my head. But basically the first piece is that you recognize that the information that you're receiving is intuitive information. So that's the first step. The second is to acknowledge it, okay? So to say, oh, you know, like I remember an example where I was, I had the keys to a building. I was going into a meeting in the city and I had keys to the building. And I was on my way in, picking up a smoothie, and this intuitive message came through my mind, the keys are in your other jacket, the keys to the building that you're about to go to are in your other jacket. And I ignored it. So I didn't acknowledge it for the message that it was. Get into the building. Of course, the keys are in my other jacket at home. I can't get in, right? So these things happen to us all the time. So the first step is to recognize it. Second step is to acknowledge it. The third step is to really, and I can't remember what the acronym stands for. I'll have to get it out to your group. But to really determine, what am I going to do with this information? So am I going to actually act on it or not? And the key with your intuitive information is, I don't believe you always have to act on what it's saying. I'm not saying, oh, go out and do everything your intuition says that you should do. But I know what the R is, respect. You're respecting it to say, okay, I recognize that your intuitive information, I acknowledge what you're telling me, and I'm respecting that information. Thank you very much. And the last piece is act. So, and again, whether you act on it positively or negatively, whether you do what your intuitive information says or whether you don't, you're still respecting the process. So to me, that rah-rah process is working the muscle. right? So whether you act on the intuitive guidance or not, you've respected the process and you are working that muscle continuously. So the more that you have that two-way communication, that's what I refer to it as, a two-way communication, the more that you have that two-way communication with your intuition, the more you're going to build the relationship, the more you build that muscle, the more you'll be able to trust it. We're not always in a position to be able to do what our intuition says to do in the moment.
And, you know, one of the things that I love about your example and what you're saying, and I Cindy's in the chat room. Wow, I feel like I'm hearing my own story. Great guest. I tell you, best people we know. The thing is that sometimes I think we get stuck in having to understand. You know, I don't understand a lot of what I do during the day, but I still have the faith and confidence to know that it's going to work. I use my computer, and I have no idea how that all works in flash lightning, but just because I can't build one doesn't mean that I still don't use it. You know, I don't boycott airplanes because I don't understand how they work. You know, just because I don't understand intuition necessarily in a mathematical equation or God, you know, I still believe that those things exist and that I can still benefit from them even though I don't understand it. And I think what you're saying is to pay attention and learn and stretch that muscle for intuition, to not question, to not judge, but to be in that present moment of awareness and know, just like the example you gave with the car keys, you know. And sometimes I think writing these things down is a great way, if, you know, even if it's just a scratch paper, to really, and you do this in your question journey, you ask people to write these things down. But when we write them down scientifically, we're more likely to achieve, understand our subconscious mind to work on them. So, you know, you've had some great, do you have some stories that you'd like to share with this? Because it is amazing how asking the right question and exercising the muscle to trust our intuition can change everything in our life, even beyond the question that we're asking. Isn't that amazing? It's a cascade of success breeding success, happiness creating more, you know, happiness. It's amazing what it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I totally agree. But here's the thing, and this is the one piece of the equation that, again, goes back to that point of readiness. It requires courage. I do believe that there's an aspect of the desire, and Deb, I'm sure as a coach you've seen this, where people will try to understand things to such a degree because it allows them to not actually face what they're looking at. They use it as a defense mechanism, right? If I can just ask more questions, I can avoid actually dealing with it.
Well, this is why I think that you actually, and I'm into the upside down, turn it around. You know, I'm always a believer, like, mom upside down is wow. You know, there's always something good and something
Absolutely.
Bad.
I love that about
and,
you.
You know, but here's the thing. Dis-ease, you know, we all want to be free from it, but let's realize that there's a gift in it first. The very fact that you're feeling not at ease is an indicator that there's something else in your, you know, in your body, in your spirit, in your soul that wants something else. So that's the good news, that you already know that something isn't working if you're feeling the dis-ease. So really the gift in that is it's a sign, it's a roadmap. It's like if I'm driving down the road and I see a sign that says, you know, danger, you know, road closed, that's disease. That's telling me, don't go through there. Don't go there. Stop. There's another way. There's another way to get to where you want to be. So isn't that part of, you know, that awareness that you ask us to ask ourselves?
And let me, I mean, I'll share you my perspective on that you alluded to in the intro as well, and this is a perfect segue. So what you in the intro, you mentioned the fact that I personally believe, that we set our bodies up for disease with the, you know, the terrible foods we eat, the processed foods, all that other kind of stuff. We can set ourselves up physically for disease. But the reality is that 85% of disease in North America, 85% of people in North America right now suffer from some form of disease. That's the statistic. Less than 3% of those are genetic. So it's not
less
like
than 3% are genetic.
Less than 3%.
Wow.
So I sit there and theoretically I ask myself, well, where the heck are these diseases coming from? Like, if I haven't gotten them from, you know, Uncle Joe or Aunt Sally, why am I manifesting scleroderma? Why is he manifesting diabetes? Why are these different diseases manifesting for these different people if it's not genetic? And in the majority of cases, it's not. So I really started to look at that. And for me personally, it was working with phenomenal coaches, people like yourself, over the course of my healing journey. And I remember in particular one woman that I worked with, a very good friend of mine. Her name is Sheila Kelly. And she did this exercise with me. And she said, Trish, I really want you to look at what's going on with your disease. What is this disease representing for you? And the exercise that she took me through is she said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine taking your heart. And I want you to imagine putting your heart inside of a box. You imagine the box, whatever it looks like. And then I want you to put a lock on that box. And then she said, I'm going to give you the key, and you can unlock that box at your leisure. And I have to tell you that that sounds like a pretty straightforward, pretty easy thing to do. I was scared out of my mind for days at the idea of unlocking that box. Because here's the deal. The disease I manifested, right, through working 18-hour days, high-stress position, terrible food, blah, 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 I manifested scleroderma as a direct representation of the fact that I had a closed heart. So I manifested for myself a restrictive disease, a disease that was literally closing off my body. And the more that I opened my heart, the more my body was loosened as well.
Hmm. And, you know, I really do believe in the mind-body connection, and by a lot of doctor's standards, you should be dead right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't an overnight. So what you're saying is it's a process. It's not a one-time. You didn't wake up, and I don't want somebody listening thinking, okay, so if I have this type of disease, you know, there's something wrong with me if I can't do it in a day. It's not an on-demand show that we can just dial in and get. But what you're saying is it's a process. So what are some of the other parts? You know, you've told us some about, you know, we need to be ready. The buy the answer habit, we have to stop and looking at things and getting our intuition is really a keystone here and being silent. But what are some of the other things that we need to do? What are some of the other steps that we have to take in this process so that we can get free from the dis-ease, which everybody wants to be free of, and your statistics show that most people are dealing with something. I mean, 80%, geez, and everybody, we're all in the same team here, really, dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, so the next piece that I, you know, get people to is to shut off the chaos valve. And when I say that, what I mean is that many of us, and any one of us can sit here and we can point to the person who lives the life of total, complete and total chaos. You know, as soon as one drama's over, the next one emerges, right? We all know those people. But what we don't necessarily recognize in ourselves is that, in essence, the majority of us are doing the same thing. And the reason that we do it is, again, it allows us to not have to deal with those deeper issues and things that we've submerged within ourselves that want to bubble to the surface. So to avoid having that happen, we keep ourselves in a constant state of chaos. And the chaos can be anything. It can be where you've created your life such that, you know, you're racing out of the house at 7 a.m. and you're racing to the coffee shop and you're racing here and you're in a lineup there and you're la, 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 and it just goes like that all day long, right? Which might sound like life, but I know because I've lived the experience, you can change that. You could bypass the coffee shop, make your coffee at home, put it on the night before so it's ready when you go to the door, and not go to the coffee shop and actually arrive to work on time. These kinds of things. Like, there's lots of little things and even big things that you can do to fundamentally shift not having to live that chaotic lifestyle all the time. But we like it. We're addicted to it because it keeps us from having to really, really look at the things that we need to look at as part of this healing process. And that one leads to the next piece, which is rip off the Band-Aid. And when I say rip off the Band-Aid, people are probably shaking their head going, what is this girl talking about? When I say rip off the Band-Aid, I'm talking about the emotional Band-Aids. So, you know, at this point in our society, and the majority of the people who are suffering from disease in our society today, we've been conditioned as we grew up to be strong, whether we're male or female, more so for males, I think, but we were really conditioned to be strong, you know, don't cry, and every time something happened that would make you sad, you know, and you wanted to cry, oh, don't cry, whether it's someone saying don't cry because they don't want to see you hurt or feeling sad, or someone saying don't cry because they want you to toughen up, it doesn't really matter the driver. At the end of the day, the message is the same. Hold it in, right? Don't let it out.
Mm.
And so, boom, we learn very quickly to chuck on the emotional Band-Aid. And so we go through 30, 40, 50, 60 years of our life putting on all of these emotional Band-Aids. Now, if we have an actual wound, if I go out today and I fall down and I cut my knee and I put a Band-Aid on that and I leave that Band-Aid on for a week, what's that going to look like in a week if I never take that Band-Aid off?
Yeah, that's not going to be very pretty.
No, it's going to be a festered mess, right? And it's going to be infected, and it's going to be nasty, and all this other kind of stuff. Our emotional wounds are exactly the same. We've got these emotional Band-Aids all over us, and to my mind, just like you said a little while ago, when the dis-ease hits, it's basically your body saying, I gave you the warning signs, I told you to stop, you're not paying attention, I'm calling a halt. The body's saying, I'm done. You need to stop. And if I have to give you a disease to make that happen, then that's what's going to happen because you're not paying attention.
And, you know, one of the things that I love about your message is really, I think, you know, cutting to it in a different definition to me is really how to be your own best friend. You know, when you enjoy your own company, then other people will start to enjoy your company. When you feel at ease with yourself, then you'll attract those type of people into your life, and those are the type of people that you'll seek out. But you have to be first what you want to attract. And if anybody's feeling, you know, chaos, dis-ease, health, mind, body, spirit, you know, the first step towards good change happening for you is knowing that this is a question for you to ask yourself, what in my life isn't working? What isn't making me feel great about myself, loving myself, embracing myself? What needs to go? You know, sometimes we have to think of our life like the garden that we tend, and we got to prune. And sometimes pruning hurts, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to prune those poison people out of your life. You have to prune the poison food out of your life. You have to prune all that stuff. And those are all things that you've done, Trish. And, you know, a lot of people might think, well, it worked for her. How can it work for me? She's not dealing with scleroderma. She, you know, had the job. She's got the great husband now. But, you know, you did a lot of suffering, and you did a lot of things that didn't work as well, but you've reinvented yourself. And that's the hope that I'm trusting listeners will be able to take away from your story. And going to thequestionjourney.com, you have a lot more resources. But, you know, what is it, because we're coming to the end of the time that we have together, which I cannot believe, what are some of the other things that people are saying that you want to leave with them so that they can, you know, really know that they're worth the effort and that good change can happen for them if they ask the right questions to get the right answers? It's, you know, sometimes we can only be as good as the teachers we have. I don't think it's an accident somebody's listening today. I think somebody needs this message, you know, and just because somebody hasn't asked you the right question before doesn't mean that Trish can't be that aha moment for you right now, this very moment.
And I love what you said there about, you know, being your own best friend. And that was one of the biggest journeys that I had through this process, was understanding that I had to put myself first. In order to heal myself, my kids had to come second. My husband had to come second. My job came third. You know, I had to totally readjust my priorities, and my life shifted as a result. I mean, I always kind of think of that, the Yes Man movie, I think it's called, with Jim Carrey, where, you know, he starts saying yes to everything, and his world falls apart, right? But it's only to allow a new world to emerge. things need to be taken apart if you want to see something else be built from it. So, you know, that getting to that place, and I felt so much guilt, and I had such a hard time really putting my needs first. But once I did, everything shifted. You know, everything shifted, and it was like I was able to actually give to the people in my life in a completely different way, in a more unconditional way, because I was first. But I knew if I don't put myself first, I'm not going to be here to see my daughter get married or graduate, or my son, you know, move on and determine what his life's going to be and watch him walk his journey. I'm literally not going to be here. And to me, that was the driving force behind it, to say, I've got to put myself first. So people really need to look at that not as something selfish, but something that can enable them to have, you know, the relationship with self first and foremost, but even deeper, more amazing relationships with the people in their lives as a result of having done that. It really does shift everything. So if you're going to take anything away, I would say, you know, and you alluded too about getting rid of the toxic foods. That was a huge part of my journey. I mean, that was absolutely massive. My husband and I did a year-long detox. It was extreme. And not everyone is going to sign up for that. But from a health perspective, he and I both had diseases at the beginning of the process, both did the same process, two different people, two different diseases, two different sexes, same result. At the end of the year, neither one of us had any symptoms of our disease. So it was like, you know, going through this process. But even with the food, whether you come at it from a spiritual point of view and you realize, oh, I want to honor the temple of my body, or you come at it from a physical point of view and say, I really want to get healthy, you'll ultimately come into that spiritual. I see it as very cyclical, right, where you will open up spiritually when the fog clears from your mind, when the toxins start to come out of your body. So there's all these things that kind of happen, and it's very much a journey. It's very much a process. It does not happen overnight, just like you said. And you learn. You just need to take responsibility for educating yourself, being willing to take responsibility for yourself, and knowing that you are worthy. Worthiness is absolutely key. You are worthy. You are here. If you are here, you are worthy. I honestly believe that.
Yeah, and, you know, last I checked, in all of time and all of creation and all the millions and billions of years that planet Earth's been here, each of us listening on the show, we have never been here before, and nobody else will ever be us again. So I would say that that's pretty good news for making us pretty awesome.
Because, yeah, and
you know, nobody's
really
been
big
us.
Reason to
nobody
get healthy,
knows
so
what it
fine.
Is to be us, right or wrong. We're not
yeah.
going to be here again. We're only in this amount of time, so we might as well shine as bright as we can and dump the junk, you know. And if you're feeling disease, get rid of it. That's a warning sign. There's something that needs to change, and change is good. I always say, don't be afraid of change. Be afraid of staying the same. I mean, that really scares me, because if there's not any hope for change, then, you know, it's just more of the same, and sometimes that's not necessarily so great. I mean, and I think the other thing is, too, if somebody's listening right now, you know, Trish is saying, ask a question. If you get her book, she has a lot of the questions for your journey, and it is a process. I mean, somebody said to Zig Ziglar, well, all this stuff that you're telling us to do, you know, it doesn't last. We've got to do it again the next day. And I think his response was, yeah, and you take a shower every day too. Hello? But you don't argue about doing that. You know, I mean, this journey of your life is at least worth as much as taking a shower in it. So ask these questions, you know, take the time. It's not selfish. The most unselfish thing you can do, as Trish is saying, which I love, is to be your best. Because when you're your best, everybody around you is your best. You know, if you have a pleasant fragrance in the perfume of your personality, that's going to permeate everything around you. And it's, you know, I mean, better to smell like perfume than a pile of manure. You know, I mean, you gotta make a choice here. And how many of us could ask a question of ourselves if we were our younger version of ourselves, what might we want to have told ourselves then? You know, ask these questions. Well, the BTR lady's telling me we have to go. How do people connect with you, Trish? Because you've just been an awesome guest. People in the chat room, Cindy's rave reviews, lots of great people. So how do people connect with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Through the website, thequestionjourney.com, facebook.com/thequestionjourney. Email me, contact me. All of my contact information is on the website and through Facebook, and I would love to hear from you. I love hearing people's stories. I love to help promote people and what they're doing, and you know, anything. And Deb, thank you so much. This has been an absolute pleasure today. So your audience has been great, very active. I love it. This has been awesome.
I know, they're so awesome. And I have a lot of, well, Cindy Hively's in here, is a big regular fan. Hollis Chapman Show, Love, Search Pro, all sorts of great regular listeners, and the new people to our family, we want to thank you and welcome you, because without you, we could not be here. So make sure you connect with Trish Bishop, and in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, remember to be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Go out, make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.